open them up. And before you, as you're doing that, I want you to get your bulletins out. I've got a few announcements to make. First of all, we have our new devotionals for the month of June, July, and August. Betty has those back there in the back. If you haven't got one, get you one. And take some for your family, take some for coworkers, and we got plenty of them back there. So get with Betty, and she has those for you. Also, next Sunday, June the 13th, we're going to be having a baby shower here for Clay and Madeline Haney Brooks here at the church at 2:30 p.m. They're registered at Leedy Floral, A Splash of Grace, which is downtown as well here in Leedy, and then also on Amazon. And also on June the 13th, she's not here today, but we talked about this last Sunday. We're going to be baptizing Mary Carmen next Sunday as well. And then June the 23rd through the 26th, also June the 20th, I want to make mention, is Father's Day. We'll be celebrating that here at Harvest Fellowship Church on that Sunday. And then June the 23rd through the 26th is our children's summer camp that's going to be happening at Manford, Oklahoma. And it gives you the cost and everything, and get with Patricia, because there's some paperwork that needs to be filled out, so we're going to be busy over the next few weeks getting all that organized and set up. And then also June the 20th through the 23rd is the youth camp as well. And so get with her, and we'll get all that paperwork filled out. And then on the back of the bulletin, you can take notes for today's message. And today's message is entitled, Expect the Goodness of God. I want everybody to say that. Everybody say, Expect the Goodness of God. All right. Now, here's if you have your Bibles, I'm also going to put them up on the screen as well, but we're going to turn to, as you know me, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture today. I'll email you this PowerPoint because it may be a lot for you to keep up with, but if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, you can write down 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to give you five principles for expecting the goodness of God in your life. And we're going to start off, our foundational scripture is out of Psalms chapter 27, verses 13 through 14. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified version, because I like how the Amplified version just gives more adjectives and adverbs and everything, more details, and just I really like the way it was worded. But in verse 13, it says, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. That's where the title came from, Expect the Goodness of God. Expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Okay? So look at somebody again and say, expect the goodness of God. God wants us to wake up every day and expect the goodness of God. Now, I know that we live in a fallen world, and we all go through trials and tribulations and junk and stuff, and we've all got other names for it as well. We go through stuff in life, right? But Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So we can wake up every day, even though that we live in a fallen world, we can wake up every day as his children and expect the goodness of God. Now, how we do this is you're going to have to learn how to walk in faith, all right? And here's the next scripture, Mark 11, verses 22 through 23, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, have faith in God, Jesus answered, and he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to us today. Verse 23 says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Okay? That's faith. We got to walk by faith. We got to speak faith. We got to live by faith. We got to do all this by faith. Now, I'm going to show you something that these are going to be scientific words that I'm going to throw at you, because scientists have even shown something that's already in the Word of God. It's been in the Word of God forever. But they have a name for what I'm going to teach you today. And so I'm going to show you this real quick, what it is. And you can Google this later, because I've studied this, all right? This is scientific stuff, Jacoby, all right? It's deep, all right? But it's called Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. It's also called confirmation or recency bias. It's also called frequency illusion. There's no allusion to what I'm going to teach you today, by the way. They also call it red-blue car syndrome. And this is what it means. It means it occurs when something you've just noticed, like a red car, suddenly pops up everywhere. Y'all ever had that happen? You think, you know, you're looking to buy a red car, and then all of a sudden all you see is red cars. Remember the game Slug Bug that we used to play with one another? Everybody was looking for slug bugs, and then they just start appearing everywhere because you've got it on your mind. You start seeing them everywhere. Before that, you weren't seeing them. Now, I'm gonna take this a little step further, just practical stuff to show you a spiritual principle, is you have to train yourself to see the goodness of God, all right? We're not born naturally just seeing the goodness of God. We're born in this fallen nature, so we're automatically programmed to think negative, to see negative, to even live negative. And we've got to program ourselves, train ourselves to see the goodness of God and live in the goodness of God. All right? And so I'm just going to give you a little practical thing that goes with this. What I do, and you know, most of you know this, I'm a real estate agent, I'm a realtor. And so I had never paid attention, and I know some of you have been in sales before or still in sales, but I had never, ever in my life ever paid attention to what they call a FSBO sign, which is for sale by owner. Now I see them everywhere because they're on my mind, because that's sales and that's somebody that wants to sell their house. So I call them and say, hey, this is Mark Haney, the real estate preacher with Moxie Realty. I would love to help you sell your house. But I had never seen them before until I started training myself to see them. And here's the deal. My prayer for all of us today is that you're going to leave here today seeing the goodness of God. And some of you for the first time because you haven't been really paying attention to it. And some of you need to, and here's what I want you to do. I want us to start training ourselves, because it's going to take training, to see the goodness of God in your life and to experience it, okay? And to begin to thank God for all the small little details that he does in your life and even the big things, all right? So that's what we're going to do. Now, to get back into scripture about this, I just wanted to show you that even scientists have said this principle works if you work it. All right, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, the first part of that scripture says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if I think that I'm going to see the goodness of God, guess what? I'm going to see the goodness of God. If I think that I'm going to see negative stuff, guess what I'm going to see? Negative. All right, so you got to start training yourself to think in your heart about the goodness of God. Jesus even said this, Luke 17, verse 21, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. All the goodness of God is within you and ready to be manifested around you. But you've got to believe for it. You've got to walk this out by faith. So here's the five faith principles that we're going to jump into today. I'm going to hit each one a little bit, and I encourage you to go home and study this out for yourself. Apply these principles to your life. But these are five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. The first one is be moved only by God's word. The second one is don't be moved by appearances. The third one that we're going to look at, the third principle, is natural things are subject to change. The fourth thing is we're going to look at see through the eyes of faith. And then number five, we're going to call things into existence. Those are the five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. Now, we're going to look at each one this morning. So here's the first one. The first one is be moved only by God's word. All right? A lot of times we're moved by a whole lot of other things besides God's word. We're moved by our five physical senses most of the time. I'd say 99% of the time we are, because we're not walking by faith. We need to be moved only by God's word. And this happened in Thomas. Thomas in John chapter 20, he said, if I can't see it, and he was talking about Jesus' hands and feet. He said, if I can't see it, then I'm not going to believe it, that he's really raised from the dead. Then we notice in that story, Jesus appears to them in that room, and that's where Thomas said, my Lord and my God, because after he saw it, he believed. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. Did you know you're blessed this morning? Because we haven't seen yet, we believe. And we're all sitting here worshiping the Lord this morning. A lot of Christians today are like this. If they can't see it, they can't smell it, feel it, hear it, or touch it, or touch something, then they choose not to believe it. They're led by their five physical senses, and we must resolve to not be moved by our five physical senses. We need to choose to believe God's word and walk in faith. And now here's a faith declaration that we're going to all do this morning, okay? So I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I'm not moved by what I see. All right. I'm not moved by what I hear. And I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. And I believe the word of God. Okay. There's your faith declaration today for number one. Number one, be moved only by God's word. All right. Here's number two. Don't be moved by appearances. And this is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I'm going to read this again out of the Amplified Version. It says, for we walk by faith, we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk, not by sight or appearance. Now, we often think that the faith was just something that was... this walk by faith was something just invented in that Jesus invented in the New Testament. No, it's that scripture, walk by faith, is even in the Old Testament. It was in the Old and the New Testament. And this is, we'll go to a story in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is where the prophet Samuel anointed David to be king. And it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, in this story, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, the prophet, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And there were seven sons that day in front of Samuel, from the prophet Samuel. The eldest one looked the part. He was tall, handsome, good-looking, all those things. And God told Samuel, nope, it's not him. It's not any of those. And Samuel finally turned to the dad, Jesse, and says, do you have another son? Because I know I was sent here to anoint the next king. He said, yeah, I've got this little runt out there in the field right now. His name's David, and he's taking care of the sheep. And he said, get him in here, because I believe he's the one that God's called. And sure enough, when he came in, God spoke to Samuel and said, that's him. And we all know the rest of the story. He was one of the greatest kings that ever lived. But he even messed up. He had a lot of mess ups. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. And so here's what I want us to learn from this principle here, about not going by outward appearances. You've got to get God's heart on something, okay? You got to know, take things, big things, little things, to prayer and ask God for direction. If you're in business, ask him for direction. He'll show you. Not everything that looks just great and grand is what God wants you to do. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it isn't. You've got to know what God wants you to do. Never allow the appearance of someone or something to have final authority in your life. We must never be moved by appearances nor make decisions based on appearances. Our decisions must always be based upon the Word of God. I'm going to give you a little story about this. In Jade and I's life in our ministry, when we first started, we were praying about where... We knew that God wanted us to be pastors one day. God had put that in our heart. And we knew that, I knew that God even wanted me to plant a church. And so we began to pray about where that was going to be at. And I know I've told this story a lot of times, but this is one part I've left out of the story. And so all of a sudden as I was praying this and believing for this, somebody contacted me and said, Mark, we want you to come and be a youth pastor at a church in Bowie, Texas. I was like, yeehaw, somebody's calling me, wants me to be a pastor in Bowie, Texas. Now, here's a little side note on this. Most of you don't know this. I was born in Bowie, Texas. So I was like, this is God. This is God. I'm making full circle, baby. We're going from Oklahoma back to Texas, even though I'm not a Longhorn. I'm a boomer sooner. But I'm going back to Texas. And we began to pray about it. And I can tell you that, because it all looked good, sounded good, looked good. It even, Bowie, Texas is a place where I was born. I was like, that's got to be a sign from God. But I began to pray about it, and here's what you need to go on, guys. As I prayed about it, it was all good. Nothing wrong with it. No, nothing evil about it. It was just all good. But as I prayed about it, I didn't have peace about it. And Jade and I didn't have peace about it. We was just like, no, that's not where we're supposed to go. And we didn't, and we stayed, and we were in Elk City at that time. We still stayed in Elk City, And then it was through a lot of different things that happened and circumstances and situations where we found out, no, God said, I want you to go back to your hometown of Leedy. And I was like, are you sure it wasn't Bowie, Texas? And he's like, no, it's Leedy. It's Leedy. And so that's a story how God, we didn't go by appearance or even something that felt familiar to me because, hey, that's where I was born. It's got to be God. You know, it's got to be God. Well, it wasn't God, not God for us. And so got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And everybody said amen. Here's another thing is if you're making those kind of decisions financially, don't all, you know, sometimes God's in the financial number. Sometimes he's not. And everybody said amen. So it's a faith walk. You've got to talk to God about it. All right, here's number three. Number three, the third principle. Natural things are subject to change. And let me explain this. This is 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 through 18. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. All right, that's a powerful scripture. And I'm just going to give a little story here with this. This just came to my mind. I didn't have this in my notes. But most of you know we sold our house here in Leedy last year right before the pandemic, right before the COVID hit. And we moved over to Foss Lake. A guy I know had a two-bedroom, one-bath house over there by Foss Lake for rent. So that's where we're living at now. We love it. I see deer almost every day. I had a hen turkey and her six baby chicks up in my front yard yesterday. It was just dear to my heart, okay? It's an answer to prayer. It's a place of refuge. We just love it over there. And there's a tree out where I park my pickup at. And last year, nothing happened on this tree, nothing at all. I mean, it came into the leaves and everything. I didn't really know what kind of tree it was until this year. And so nothing happened on this tree last year. But remember we had that hard freeze for 2 weeks in February, that winter? I mean, just unbelievable. And I thought, man, all these trees around here are going to die. And you know, all the plants around our house and all this stuff. And anyway, this tree that I parked my pickup under is a mulberry tree. And it has produced mulberries out the wazoo. I mean, it's got, not only does it have ripe mulberries, but it's even putting on green ones to replace the ones that are ripe that are fallen. And now I've got, this is probably TMI, but now I've got so many, that's why the hen and the baby chicks were up in my yard eating mulberries. But now we have birds eating mulberries. And of course, you know, when they poop, it's purple poop. Whenever they poop mulberry, that's probably TMI. But anyway, so I'm outside and I'm like, Lord, we need somewhere else to park because of this mulberry tree. I mean, I got mulberries out here in the back of my pickup like crazy, and I need to park somewhere else. And one day I was out there and I'm walking through mulberries, and you've got to walk in the house, and Jay is telling me, Mark, wipe your feet off because you're going to be tracking purple all over the house. And I'm like, God, this mulberry tree is driving me nuts. And one day I was walking out there and I was thinking about, I cannot believe that this tree is producing that much fruit after that hard of a winter. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Mark, when you go through a hard winter, it always produces a lot of fruit for the kingdom of God. I was like, God, that is good. You know, because there's a lot of stuff going on underground that we can't see when it's going through that season, and that tree is putting down even deeper roots, and it's causing more nutrients to come up into the tree and produce that kind of fruit. And so that's seeing the eternal when you just, you know, I hope that explains that. But to be temporary is to be subject to change is what that scripture is talking about. Anything we can perceive with our five natural senses is subject to change. Jesus proved this truth in his ministry. The blind saw, the lame walked, the lepers were healed, the deaf heard, and the dead were raised. Things changed at his word. Isn't that awesome? So we need to learn and start training ourselves to speak the word of God over situations and circumstances in our lives and in our family and start seeing things change, okay? Because it's temporary. It's temporary, and it's subject to change. All right, here's number four. Everybody learning something today? All right, number four, see through the eyes of faith. And this is A lot of times, guys, we're really walking by our natural senses. We're not walking by eyes of faith. We want to think that we are, but a lot of times we're not. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Okay? You know, I know you young people are being taught all kinds of things in school, and I wish they would take the Bible and teach from the Bible what happened. There might have been a big bang, but I'm telling you, God pulled the trigger. All right? God spoke, and the bang happened, and life happened. And this principle, seeing with the eyes of faith, is all through Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. I'm going to show you this in the Old Testament in a story with the prophet Elisha. And this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. It says, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord,' he's seen in the natural, okay, 'what shall we do?' the servant asked. And this is what the prophet said. It says, 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed, and he said, 'Lord, open his eyes so that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Elisha knew they were there without even seeing them, because he was walking by faith and not by sight. And so whenever you're facing difficulty and problems and issues that are going on in your life, whatever, at work, at home, whatever, you've got to know that there's more with you than that's against you. God is for you, not against you, and there's more with you than that are against you. Only a third of the angels fell, okay? So that means two-thirds are for you. You win. Here's another thing. We already won, you know? It's like we were talking about singing that song, "I'm going to fight my battles." You got to fight from a place of victory already. You already got to know that you're a winner. And everybody said, amen. All right. This is why it is important that we look at things in the natural through the eyes of faith. No matter how bad circumstances are in the world today, there's still much God-directed activity going on in the realm of the Spirit. We just need to see it through the eyes of faith. All right. God's not through with this nation. I'm telling you, God is on the throne, and he's at work behind the scenes right now, okay? And you got to believe that. Even though all you see and hear is what you see on the news, for the love of God, turn off the news, okay? Because all this is a bunch of lies. I hope you figured that out by now. And start calling those things into existence, all right? Pray for our president. Pray for our current president. Pray for the one that's going to be coming after him. You know, we got to pray for our leadership. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number five. Call things into existence. Number five, call things into existence. And this is Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. It says this. It says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham." You and I are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17 says, "As it is written, I have made you," everybody say made, this is God speaking, "I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." And then I'm going to show you this, that second scripture down there is out of the Message Bible, Romans 4:18. It says, "Abraham was first named," everybody say named, "father, and then became a father." Now, the reason why I wanted to share that with you about calling things into existence, I want you to notice the words made and named are past tense, okay? God was calling those things that were not as though they were, and this is how the God kind of faith operates. When God was saying this about Abraham, he wasn't a daddy yet, all right? Wasn't even on the radar screen. In fact, he was old. He was 100 years old by the time Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. When Sarah heard that she was going to become pregnant, she laughed. I would have too, right? Don't put Sarah down. We all would have laughed. If your husband's 90 and your ladies, you're 90 and your husband's 100, it ain't happening, right? But God said it's happening. Made and named. God said it before it ever happened. So God called those things that are not as though they were. And God wants us to that's the God kind of faith, and that's what we need to operate in. So what's not happening in your life, if you're not seeing the goodness of God in your life, in your marriage, in your work, or whatever, You need to start calling those things that are not as though they were. And start training yourself to see them. And then when you see the goodness of God, speak it out and say, that was the goodness of God. And then it keeps you trained to start seeing it and getting that negative junk, that negative thinking, that stinking thinking out. And everybody said, amen. All right. Let's look at this again. Five faith principles, if you didn't get it earlier. Five faith principles to activate the goodness of God in your life. Number one, be moved only by God's word. Number two, don't be moved by God's appearances. Don't be moved by appearances. Number three, natural things are subject to change. Number four, see through the eyes of faith. And then number five, call things into existence. Now, I want to end with some scriptures here that you may want to write down, because these are some good ones to meditate on this week. There's going to be several of them. Because as I was studying the word good through the word of God. And how you do that, I'm just going to give you a little side note. You go to BibleGateway.com is what I do. And you can type in a word or a phrase, and it'll bring up every scripture that has that in it. So I typed up good and goodness and all that. And so I love this scripture. Psalms 119, verse 68. This is how the Message translation says, "You are good," talking about God. God is good and the source of good. And then it says, and I love this, "Train me in your goodness." And so that's a good scripture to put to meditate on this week. God is good, we all know that, and he's also the source of good. And then it says, "Train me in your goodness." That's what we need to be doing, training ourselves in God's goodness. Then James 1, verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above." By the way, if it's not good, it's not God. Amen? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. It's amazing to me how many Christians today think that when there's a sickness or disease, that God put it on them for his glory. If it ain't good, it ain't God. There ain't nothing good about cancer. And everybody said amen, all right? That's not from God. Don't ever believe that. And it's amazing to me how the enemy has stooped people to believe that, even Christians. If it's not good, it's not God. All right, Psalms 31, verse 19. And I just want you to get this one word out of this scripture. Abundant. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up. God's got them stored up for you this morning for those who fear you. That also means respect. That you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. God has the abundance of good things stored up for you. And he just wants you to believe that and start releasing that, because the kingdom of God is within you. And then Psalms 23, verse 6 is another good one. It says, and I've left out a whole bunch of good ones that had good in it. Psalms 23, verse 6 says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God wants his goodness and his love to follow you all the days of your life. I mean, here's the deal. When I was studying this, I was like, God, here's what I want out of my life. Is whenever I go somewhere or when I get around people, I want people to feel, experience, and know that there's a good God. Because his goodness and love is following me wherever I go. And there's nothing cocky or arrogant about that. That's being a child of God. And that's a good witnessing tool, by the way. Is when people see you, no matter what you're going through, you're always focused on the goodness of God. And you're always upbeat. And you're, you know, and I know we all have down days and all that. And that's, you know, I have them too. But we have to focus and train ourselves in this goodness of God. Or we can live in depression all the days of our life and live in anxiety. And I just refuse to go there. Just don't want to live there. So you have to train your mind in your life to see and experience the goodness of God, all right? Just a little, I asked my mom if I could share this story this morning in closing today, because a lot of times, guys, we often think, God, if I got out of debt, or if this happened, or if I was paid this amount of money, or if this breakthrough would happen, then I would be happy, and then I would, you know, experience the goodness of God. And the goodness of God, guys, is around us all the time. We're just not seeing it, and we're not. It's there, and we're not thanking God for it. And my mom relayed a story to me, and I was just man. So I asked her if I could share that this morning in closing today, because my grandmother Christine Wilson is in the Baptist Village in Elk City, and the other day, mom told me that they had a gospel singing group, Percy Walker. This is going on the radio, so Percy, if I hope you hear this, thank you for doing that ministry. So he'd go up to Baptist Village, and yesterday was a nice day in the evening, so they had it outside because these residents haven't been outside due to COVID for, I mean, my grandmother has been shut up for a year inside, hasn't even been outside. And so yesterday my mom went up there and encouraged her, said, we're going to go out and hear some good gospel singing and get outside and get some sunshine, get some vitamin D. Mom said they go outside and Percy's leading the singing. I've heard Percy sing before. He's got that good voice, you know, singing those old gospel hymns. And my grandmother's sitting by my mom and she's listening. And mom said, I just looked over at grandma and her mom and looked over and said, she just had her eyes closed. And she said, Joyce, I'm just so thankful for the breeze that I feel on my face. Guys, when the last time was you thankful for a breeze? You know, most of the time I'm complaining about the wind in Oklahoma, and my grandmother's outside experiencing the wind on her face and thanking God for it. You know, and just those little bitty things, guys, that we go through life that we're not thankful for. You know, and we need to. And so when you have those moments, and you're going to have them because you're going to start noticing them, that red car syndrome is in effect now with you guys. You're going to start experiencing, you're going to start seeing the goodness of God. And when you do, call it out. Say, I see it, God, I see it. And then, but God wants to take you a step further in your faith walk. If you don't see it, still call it out. God, I know you're here around me somewhere because you're good and you're good all the time and you surround me, like that song was saying, that we were singing that last song. But help me see you. Help me see the goodness of God. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's another faith. I like doing these faith declarations, don't you? Okay, it's a way to train your mind of seeing the goodness of God and speaking faith-filled words over your life. So I want you to repeat this after me. Say, I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not subject to the times. I am surrounded on all sides by the goodness of God. I taste and see that the Lord is good. I know every good and perfect gift comes from above. Perfect gift comes from above. I know the Lord is abounding in goodness towards me. I know the Lord has laid up goodness for me. I know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All right. I want you to keep. Yeah, good job. Good job. Yeah, kind of sound like Bruce Almighty there at the end with the. All right. that's a lot of declaration, I know. All right, I'm going to pray this over you guys this morning. Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you that we're going to leave here today expecting the goodness of God. We're going to see it. We're going to experience it. We're going to call it out. Even if we're not seeing it wherever we're at, God, we're going to say, Lord, open my eyes just like you did the prophet Elisha's servant so that I can see the goodness of God surrounding me. And Lord, as we do these things, we're going to begin to train our minds to see the goodness of God and walk in faith. And so, Lord, I just declare that everyone here today is going to experience the goodness of God in their lives, in their homes, in their marriages, in their workplaces from this day forward, God. And we give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed this morning. And I just want to just talk to you for just a second because I want to make sure of this. Well, we always do this every Sunday at Harvest Fellowship Church. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. And in his goodness, God sent his son to become the perfect and blameless sacrifice so that we could be forgiven of our sins. God, the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. And then it says this in Romans 2:4, and I love this scripture. It says that the goodness of God is what leads people to repentance. And so I want to lead you in a prayer this morning, and this prayer is called the Prayer of Salvation. This is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You may have never done this before, But in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said, all that we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And even if you know that you are saved this morning, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. And if that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience and walking with the Lord is following him in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday because we're also baptizing Mary Carmen. So if you'd like to do that, get with me and we will do that next Sunday. So is everybody ready to expect the goodness of God?
Amen.
All right, I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. Jada, why don't you come up here with me? And Jada and I, we're going to speak a blessing over you. And this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. This is a powerful blessing, and this is the blessing that God told Moses to speak over the children of Israel. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. I want you to leave here today expecting the goodness of God. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.